when you think about, as we like to at these epistles, who's writing, is he writing, helps us understand some things about purpose of the letter, obviously. So it begins, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God. And so Simon Peter identifies himself as a servant, a bondservant, a slave, Christ, apostle and designated. He sees himself and who's serving Christ, bound to serve, but also would suggest very low, but also an apostle, an ambassador, an emissary, one who speaks the authority. We couple introduction. Most scholars believe that this second written sometime 64 and 60. There's good tradition for not a lot of any. So that's that after. So Peter says that this is his second letter, identifies it as the second epistle, second chapter in verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second. I believe this is the second. And he says in 2 Peter 1, his death is imminent. He will soon put off this. He expects to pass this life soon. Secular history hates again as part of Nero. There's a good secular for that. That goes along with some things that Jesus himself, old Peter, we'll talk about. So Peter writes as we to those who obtain precious faith. This is a much broader address than the epistle, which was to the dispersed. Now he's writing to all who have precious faith. So his focus has broadened. He understands, obviously, all epistles are all disciples. This, he's any and all in this precious faith. In this epistle, then, he's going to challenge all of us to grow in the grace and not maintain our faith, to resist false teachers, especially, which seems the last half. And if you look for a theme, a purpose, and how to outline this in your mind without doing it, make your calling and election sure. So there are a lot of things that prevent you from grow. If a false teacher gets a hold of you, some things like that, those are what we'll focus on. So make your calling election sure, I think is a good statement. He talks about growing grace and knowledge, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, what we call the Christian virtue that are added to grow, and then the challenge and the last of the grace and growing, big part of what he wants to say. We need to guard false teachers about that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. There are false prophets among the Old Testament. There will be false teachers among who will secretly Pharisees. So watch out. Warns us specific character, their tactics. He'll expose their attitude, some of false assumption, false teacher. So grow, guard, and then look back. Remember, when you put this in light of what I said, he's writing to everybody who the same. All of us look back to so much of the time, the problem in modern time, we latch on to, obey, and then into serving. Lose our focus on central core, as sure, when we drift off is novel. And so Paul is warned, Peter is certainly a great extent in second. Look at chapter minute in chapter. He says, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken more by the holy prophets and commandments of us, the apostles of and saved. So just remember that you heard from. Go back. Focus on this. Remind yourself of those. I'm reminded, he's saying. And then you can also see in verse 8, he says, in chapter 3, do not forget this one thing that day is a thousand day. This is something, remember what you a lot. So look back, look forward. The day of judgment is surely coming. That's big Peter makes both chapters. And interestingly, places, connects to the problem of one in chapter 2, he's going to say, God's went on those. So they will. And in chapter 3, he notes that the false teachers who say, what judgment? Everything's been going along like it has from the beginning. Nothing's changed. There's not going to be any judgment. And so he answers that and warns. So grow, guard, look back at what forward. And I think that sort of encapsulates without a fizz of 2 Peter. Peter concludes the epistle, in fact, by emphasizing these precise themes. You can see it, 2 Peter in verse 12, looking for and hastening to that. And then in verse 17, you therefore, brethren, since you know this beforehand, okay, here's stuff you already know, looking back, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So guard against that, but grow grace and knowledge of Christ. So all of those four things, just like any good or sermon treatise, you hit, when you get to your conclusion, you points. You have thoughts or questions about that? Yeah, and what I've actually found, Rick and I are not the same, probably, that I will say that to myself, that was, and then I'll go back and my notes, it's right there that it was there for, and I've just forgotten it. And that happens a lot to me. You know, that's why we did know it. All right, let's begin into the text. We read verse 1 of chapter, verses 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you, the knowledge of God and of Jesus. His divine power has to us all things, to life and goodness, through the knowledge of us and virtue, by which have been to us exceeding precious. Through these you may nature, having escaped corruption and lust. That's a lot in that sentence, but he greets them with grace and peace. And this is only Paul, you epistles start with this kind. And he talks about wish that peace be multiplied. And so through the knowledge of God, here's what we come to. God called us, either by or to, called us by or to. So we have an idea of what glory is. It's goodness, full radiance, the majesty, virtue is his excellence. And so he called us to participate in virtue. Call, second. So in 2 Peter 1:15, he who called you holy, that again talks about virtue, holy. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he who called you out of darkness into his light. 1 Peter 3 and verse 9, called to this. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 3, called us to his eternal glory. So called us to glory, called us to his, those things he's already said. 1 Peter picks it, picking virtue. His divine power, God power, has given to us all things godliness. All right, what does that say, modern day revelations? Now, why would we need what divine power has given us? And so what Muhammad or Joseph Smith, Mary Bickham starts these false religions, say the revelation, that went of this path. So he's given us all things to life and godliness. He's talking about spirit, our life in Christ, seeking for godliness. Godliness concept pleases God, not so much God a lot, but the attitude. So what are some of the scripture, truth? Yeah, he's led us to, there's lots of things. The help in trials, and the promise of a resurrection, all of those things were discussed. So God has given us, he's provided for us all. And through those things, we have great promises. And then he mentions, he goes forward, those specific things, so that we can partakers of the divine nature, he said, having escaped corruption. The divine nature characterized God is love, is holy, hearts of God. Those are two, the holiness of God, partakers of, and Peter will explain. So we've escaped the corruption that's in the great definition of rottenness. Spiritually, it is rotten. It's a rotten place. So we escape rottenness, AIDS, decays. Great enthusiastic, if I can use to this epistle. With that then laid out before us, all that in prospect as the faith who are sharing this life, what we share. He goes on then to say that we can gain hold of his promises and more attuned by giving all diligence to add certain faith. Now remember, he started with the premise that he's talking about the same. So he's already taught we have this faith. We can really hold of the promises by doing so with assurance. That. So giving all diligence, we add to it, you have got this name, the Christian virtue of our Bible. That is a heading. And so he says, add to your virtue, knowledge, self, perseverance, godliness, kindness, and virtue, excellent. Greek, single best. He's barring omission, one of the tombstones, best possible achievement, whatever. So moral excellence and goodness. So we're striving the best for excellence comes to, but especially then knowledge of spiritual truth, seeking deeper, perfect knowledge. We're never satisfied with superficial. We're not satisfied with being babes. We're going to grow, and so we're pressing that knowledge. Then self-control. This is perhaps the most frightening of all of the. You might remember what happened. Paul was Felix about righteousness and self-control. Felix was, I'm not sure if he was terrified so much of judgment, but of the idea of control. It's terrifying. It refers to self-discipline, not just a couple $1 trillion. That's not just, but exercising. Self-control, conduct to achieve. So it follows knowledge in this list, and that kind of suggests that we should put this self-discipline. I find in your life, my life, in general, it's the discipline challenge all of them. Tony, in this context, that clearly is the case. I mean, as I said, he's writing the precious faith. These people are saved already by God's grace, accepted the promises. But this is a matter of how we respond, growth, and also how do we hold of the promises. Once you're saved, you can lose that, kind of part of his point too. And so how do you make sure that you keep hold of those? He talks about perseverance, which is, in fact, the idea of patience or steadfastness. The ESV says it's endurance and faithful service. It's focused on this year at Eastside. Then godliness, which we learned already, it's just be devout, Godward attitude, pleasing God, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia, love of brethren, actually love of sister, but that's, and added to that, attitude of just mutual affection, work on that. Some people do this a lot more naturally. More. This is something, like all of these things, some work on some who we are, but this is something we need to add. Say, we can't just say, well, we need to get that. We need to. And then love, which is not so much the feeling of love, but the decision where you're just going, whatever it takes to help. It's going to sacrifice others. This is, of course, love God has for us, divine love, where he sacrificed his son, God's so begotten son. Qualities of growth, what that leads us to is these are the things, as I said, that are going to secure our salvation. He says in verse, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these things keep us not bare. If we'll add these, we will bear, which we must do, by the way, to God. If we don't bear, be cut off and cast out as a branch. He says, for he who lacks these things and short-sighted eat to blindness, has forgotten that he is cleansed from old sins. You know, I'm nearsighted, if you've seen me with my glasses on. So I'm nearsighted almost to blindness. I know how that you really can't see. What he's saying is these things forgotten and kind of getting what our response, lost sight. You lack those qualities, you're nearsighted to blindness, and you fail to remember these prayer forgiveness for old sin. These are the things, doing these things that will secure our salvation. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Now, he said to begin with, be diligent, right? And now he's be more diligent than diligent. Be more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. Lose our salvation? Yes. How can we make sure we're not going to do these things? I mean, again, as Tony said, we're not earning salvation, we're being salvation. That's the point. These things will secure our salvation, prevent us from stumbling. They'll provide an entrance abundantly, a wide open entrance into the everlasting kingdom and Savior, verse 11. And so he goes on from and says to us from verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent, for this reason that I want you to make your calling and election sure, that I want those of you who are saved to remain saved and be with me in heaven. For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in present truth. He said that to begin with, right? It wasn't that they didn't know the truth. They need to remember, and they need to remind themselves. They were established in, Peter says, I think it's right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding, knowing that shortly I must put my tent, just as our Christ showed. So he's using the word tent in exactly what Paul used 5. That's sort of it. Paul and Peter do so much the same. There are a lot of people like there's some sort. They say different stuff. There's so much the same way they say things. But the tent obviously is the body. He felt the need to stir people so that they would have a reminder after he's gone. And he says in verse 50, careful to ensure that you always have these things. My decease. His decease is imminent. He says, just as Christ has shown me. You remember of the gospel, Jesus says, you know, when you're old, they're going to bind you, make you someplace you don't want to go. The text said this signify what death. And so Jesus told him, and he saw it coming. Probably nearly so. Tradition is. So that's the situation he's in. And you see what's important. He's not saying keep on keeping new stuff, develop along with society. You've got the truth. He's dying. Gnosis and gnosis, so you fix, which suggests that it's not a New Testament that he uses. He wants to go on and talk about the reliability of the apostles, his own reliability as a witness, somebody to be believed. So let's look at that a little. Verse 16. We did not, he says, for we did not follow cunningly by his faith, power, Jesus Christ. But Peter, he didn't follow something somebody else. He saw. And he explains exactly what he saw that really had an impression on him. He said, he, talking about Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased. We heard this voice which came from heaven. We were with him on the holy mountain. Peter had quite an experience, as did James and John. That count is 3 synoptic gospels in similar detail, but they saw Jesus in glorified. They heard the voice from his total sensory Christ, glorious Lord. You would remember that the rest of all the things Peter saw. Here was its glimpse in Christ in itself, glorious. And he says, I experienced. And besides that, witnesses of what you saw, you experienced. So from that point, not only is Peter's testimony, which their faith based on, in verse 19, we also have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well, heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn, morning star rises in hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of any private or prophecy of God spoke Holy Spirit. Reliability of Old Testament prophet, also great assurance concerning our faith, a reason to believe, to confirmed prophecy, certainly verify the reliability of Scripture. You realize the testimony of the gospel to the Gentiles prophesied testament. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, the good news coming Messiah. So in Peter doing that, he's actually fulfilling Old Testament. And so there's a definite connection between his testimony of the gospel, the Old Testament's prophecy about the testimony. Pay attention to prophecy, he says, a lamp in a dark room. Just continue to look into Scripture. Be fully illuminated until the light dawns, until the light bulb comes on, we would say, and the day star rises. Just keep on focusing on it. It will all come clear. He says, Scripture is not a private interpretation. Can't be a private interpretation because it's not of a nation. Men of God spoken, not possibly have the prophecy. Hundreds of been fulfilled in clear out of human. So that's demonstration. The Scriptures are the Scripture which prophesied of the Christ or to Christ. Just think about the gospel of Christ, how it's a prophecy. The Ethiopian could see Christ in Isaiah. Peter started as he could see Christ. The Bereans could know the truth about Paul's claim Christ by exam. Herod Agrippa, Paul said, the prophets. The prophets said these things that I'm telling you, Agrippa say. So there's the power, obviously. All right. I don't think we really have image. The next class. But in chapter 2, he broaches this, the problem of, and he says, there were false teachers, there were false prophets. Speaking of the ultimate scriptures, there were a lot of false prophets. A lot of ones who were naysaying were true prophets. And we're going to have false teachers today. He says they're going to introduce destructive heresies along with that. So we got to watch out. Motivations are not going to, while all of that is true, God will. And that leads again in second to this, warning us about some of the. So the Lord knows how to deliver us out of temptations. So we'll look at my big rocks for the lesson. Again, you have the four things: grow, guard, backward, add to our virtue, self-controlness, kindness, and love. Remind yourself of that. Go back, restudy things. God's word, a qualified witness, verified, but false teacher and a cause will be lost. But God. All right, questions or insights? Never a stopping to continue. All right, appreciate it. We'll try to.